Well, hey there, and welcome back to another episode of Corinth in Your Car. We are grateful that you have tuned in to listen, whether or not it's in your car today. I'm here with Josh and with Adam, as usual, and we are excited to get into a conversation. So let's jump in and hear from you guys first about how you are doing. What's been a highlight from this past week as you have lived? The sun, life that God has given you.
That's a highlight as we were living.
We were living.
Yeah.
The sun's out, man.
The sun's out, yeah. Last night in particular was super fun. The weather was great. We ate dinner, and after dinner just spent time in the yard. Throwing a football, throwing a dog for the ball. A ball for the dog, how about?
Yeah, I was wondering how you were.
It'd be funny. Throw the dog.
It's a big dog to throw at a ball.
Yeah. I can lift Turk up, but barely. He's like over 100 pounds. So I have to squat him, you know, to get way down.
Yep.
Anyway.
Lift with your legs, not with your back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So last night was super fun. And we had a bonfire earlier this week. Small group over, roasted hot dogs, smoked sausage, s'mores. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
We had s'mores at the moors.
S'mores at the moors.
What a time to be alive. Adam, what about you, man? What's been a highlight from the week of life that you have had?
Good grief. It's just the weather's just great. It's a little chilly in the morning, but the afternoon stuff has been great. And so that's probably been the best thing. Sunshine is always good.
Yeah, absolutely. I took advantage of it on Monday. With Tristan starts working this coming Monday, so the day that this episode releases. So I kind of took a half day on Monday to hang out with her before that started and all that sort of stuff. And we went and played disc golf. Well, I went and played disc golf, and she walked and talked to me while I was playing.
But she played two holes.
She played three holes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, she played three holes. And I guess she scored lower than I did because I played 18. So
My dad is coming to town Sunday, I think he's getting in. And so we're going to go play golf on Monday. And then he's heading
back. Your parents coming in?
Yeah, my parents are coming in too.
How come that wasn't your highlight?
Well, because that was from the last week.
We haven't got to the next week yet.
No, but.
Which you already got there.
But people are listening to this on Monday. And so how do they know?
Well, I don't know. So, hanging out with my
big thing is we know how your mom is an avid fan of the podcast, and how offended is she going to be?
Yeah, she doesn't listen.
Yeah, I know.
She doesn't. Well, I mean, they've got a car ride, so they actually started their
text her the link.
They started their trip this morning, and it's been kind of a nightmare so far. They started later than they wanted to. And they got 45 minutes in, and their car started having some transmission issues, which they had just paid to fix. And so they turned around and went back home and went through the process of renting a car and driving to pick up the car and then all that sort of stuff. So they haven't even made it to Houston yet, and it is 10:30 in the morning now. So they're going to get in late tonight, and we'll be tired. Well, but we're going to play two rounds of actual ball golf.
There you go. Real, so, otherwise known as golf.
My dad likes golf, not disc golf. And so we're going to play at Cherokee Run tomorrow morning, and then Bear Creek on Saturday morning. So
nice.
I'm excited about
Cherokee. There's a little rain in the forecast at some point.
It's not much.
Yeah, okay. It should be fine.
Cherokee Run. Have you played Cherokee Run?
No, I haven't. I heard it's hard and beautiful.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Take however many golf balls you think you need. Just double it.
So take like two per hole?
At least, yeah.
At least. Okay.
Because when was the last time you swung a golf club?
Thanksgiving.
Three golf balls.
Three golf balls per hole. Yeah, there we go. Okay. I lose a lot of balls at Bear Creek too. Bear Creek is a ball collector.
It is. I probably found some of those.
Yeah, you might have.
Last time I swung a golf club was probably 15 years ago.
No way. 15 years ago?
Honestly.
Wow. Yep. You have them though, right?
The Rawlings Big Sticks.
Yeah.
The Rawlings Big Sticks. You want to
come? That's what they're called.
You want to come tomorrow morning?
I bought the whole set for $75 at a pawn shop when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Living the dream.
Love it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, there we go. We're looking ahead to golf for the two of us. Josh, what about you? What are you looking ahead to? We're looking forward to, ahead to. What's coming up that you're excited about?
It's coming up this next week. I mean, I guess the kids will be back in school, so it's always nice for the break, but it's always also nice for the regular schedule and normal bedtimes, wake up times, you know, activities. And part of those regular activities is Dominic's playing soccer, and that practice starts next Tuesday. So
sweet.
Looking forward to that.
Nice. That'll be fun. Hey, here's another question that I like to ask sometimes on the podcast, because it's fun to hear from the two of you so that I can add some things to my list, but also those listening can add some things to their list too. So what are some things right now that you guys are reading or learning or listening to?
Let me see. So as far as watching, listening, I've been revisiting several of the things from Next Level Conference. Just trying to get some of those things into my brain vocabulary.
Yeah.
And then two, I started listening to one of my goals this year was to add a few preachers to listen to. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if we've talked about this
on
the podcast.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it.
And so yesterday evening, can't remember when it was, listening to Kyle Idleman over at Southeast.
Yeah.
So
he's good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. KI too. So. Yeah, his dad's name's Ken Idleman, and he was the president of Ozark. Well, I was there, so we called him KI1, and then Kyle Idleman is KI2.
KI2.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
There you go. Josh, what about you, man? What are some things you're reading, listening to, learning?
Well, I'm listening to Les Mis right now as like a novel. It's a really, really long story. It's like 60 hours long, so I still have like 20 hours to go. It's been a long listen, but it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. Sasha likes the classics, and I've learned to love the classics. And
okay.
So I listen from time to time to things like that, and it brings us together.
So when you listen to Les Mis, do they sing?
No.
No.
The Broadway is, you know, it's made into a musical, but...
So the book is not...
No, no.
Okay. Yeah. That's a very ignorant question that I just asked them.
There's no
singing in the book.
No,
like it's not like a Shakespearean musical or something like that. Like Lord of the Rings.
It's not like, you know, Lord
sitting
of the
around
Rings.
The tavern and singing old war songs.
Yeah, so that's been fun. I tell you what, kind of one of the recommendations from Next Level was a book that Aaron Brockett suggested called The Bait of Satan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you pick that up?
I did. And basically it comes down to offense, being offended. And that's how Satan hooks into your heart. And he says, things are going to happen all the time that will have the potential to offend you, and we just have to let it not.
Yeah.
Because some of it's intentional, some of it's not intentional. But what Satan does
is he sates you.
Yeah. He baits. I'm switching my words all over the place today. It could be interesting Sunday.
That offends me.
If this still is happening, yeah, he baits that hook and. Just the littlest thing, it might set you off. And maybe someone did it on purpose, maybe they didn't, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, it's been good. There's the end of every chapter, kind of like some of the Groeschel books, there are some declarations.
Sure.
Very good.
And some prayers. So it's super helpful. Also, for those listening, there's probably 15 or 17 chapters, but they're all short.
Okay.
So they're easy enough. You could do a chapter in 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Sure.
Slowly and easily. So. Yeah, it's been a good read.
Yeah, love it. I'm on.
You?
I'm on book number 4 for the year, which is starting off at a good pace.
Yeah.
Usually it starts that way and then slows down, but I want to keep it going this time around. Two of them that I've read have been the sermon series books, so Power to Change and then Living Life Backward. But I picked up a book called Holy Grit.
Yep.
By Chad Ragsdale, professor over at Ozark. Really, really good. But the one I'm working through now. Halfway done with it is called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools.
I've heard good
and
stuff about that.
It's an invitation to the wonder and mystery of prayer. So it's like a book on prayer that gets you practicing things that you
That's
might
awesome.
Not normally practice and all that sort of stuff by Tyler Staton or Staton. Really good. Mm-hmm. Lots of really great stories in that book. I recommend it. It's been fun. Well, at least the first 5 chapters. I'll let you know about the others afterwards. So there are some things for you guys if you want to pick up a book. There are some that we're reading right now. So, hey, we're in a series right now, wrapping it up, actually. Mm-hmm. We're done, as of you guys are listening, with Living Life Backward. Well, we're starting to live life backward, but we're done with the series. Yesterday, Josh, you wrapped us up with the idea of living with one foot in the grave. So why don't you give us a recap of where you went yesterday?
Yeah, living with one foot in the grave just means it's kind of been a theme through the whole series, but more pointedly, I guess, this message. That any day could be the last. You might have 1 day left. You might have 6 months left. You might have a year left. but it doesn't really matter. We have to live prepared to die. Not in some sort of cliche, you know, like try to scare the hell out of you sort of thing that some preachers do.
Yeah.
But we just have to realize that, yeah, that any day could be the last. So we need to live the lives that God has lived us with gratitude and enjoyment, but also be prepared for the end.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Love it. Adam, as you're kind of reading through the script and thinking about what Josh had said, what are some things that kind of jump off and out to you?
I just think that this was an excellent bookend conclusion to the series, and just the idea that one day is going to be the last day, and so what if it was right now?
Yeah,
you know, where would we be? How would I feel if I knew that? And then how would those who have loved me, invested in me, and I've invested in, how would they feel? You know, those kind of things. What would they say? And so I think that's just that question that kind of hangs over the whole series is, since we know that we're not going to escape death, and since we know there's going to come a day whenever we're going to be facing it, how should that change everything?
Sure.
And so I think that's just been the great reminder of the entire series.
Yeah, it's been a good series. Particularly, just loved this last part where we kind of get to this point where it's like, okay, so what do you do with all of the information that mm-hmm. has been laid out in Ecclesiastes? Well, you just enjoy life and prepare for whenever you don't have it anymore. And mm-hmm. I think that that's been kind of a new way of thinking about Ecclesiastes. Like, I didn't have a lot of familiarity. That's just mm-hmm. such a hard word with Ecclesiastes prior to this series. I didn't take a specific mm-hmm. class in Bible college on it and all that sort of stuff. And so, this is kind of one of the first deep dives that I've done into Ecclesiastes mm-hmm. as we're going through it. And so, at first, whenever you just read it, you kind of think, well, man,
yeah,
meaningless. What's, you know, and it's just this book that kind of sits in the middle of your Old Testament. You find it for a couple of days once a year as you're reading through your Bible plan, and you read it. And if you don't really kind of get into it and mm-hmm. reflect and all that sort of stuff, you're tempted to think, well, this book is just like, this guy's just like suicidal and there's nothing really significant about what he's saying here. But then you really do this deep dive in. It's like, no. Mm-hmm. Enjoy what you've got. And I thought that's been really helpful for me to think through. Appreciate your message yesterday, Josh. Let's go ahead and jump in and talk about it a little bit. We'll read Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 3 through 4, which is some of the verses that you use to kind of spring into talking about the text for the day. Adam, if you've got that pulled up, would you read Ecclesiastes 9, verses 3 through 4 right there?
Yeah, it says, "This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts where they live, and afterward they join the dead."
Love it.
Verse 4 is, "Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better than a dead lion," which is just a great line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. So verse 3, not very uplifting, but then you get to the hope of verse 4 too. Mm-hmm. But kind of what you're pointing out here, Josh, is that two things. There are two truths in Ecclesiastes, the other E, two truths here, that death is unavoidable and that life is unpredictable. And yet, what we try to do all the time is to avoid death and predict life. And so let's talk about, like, what are some of the dangers about going about these things that way?
Well, I think if you try to avoid death or thinking that you're going to die, or, you know, for one, you might waste a lot of money because you might buy all the stuff to not get you wrinkles, or there's whole industries.
Yeah, the
you're not going to die.
And the plastic surgeries and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that's just very surface level kind of stuff, but on a more deeper level, if you don't ever think about death, then you don't ever think about legacy, sort of a deal. And
sure.
And not just what people are going to say about you, but what you're investing in others and what really matters, things like that. Also, predicting life is just, it's a way to get your hopes shattered mm-hmm. all the time. Broken yeah. expectations are huge. They're disappointing. And if you ever kind of live hoping for this expectation to be fulfilled, and then it's not. All of a sudden, your false god is sort of revealed. Mm-hmm. You know, you hope you get the job, or your kid gets the scholarship, or the relationship that you want, and then it doesn't happen. And your life, if the hope is that, then it's shattered. So
right, you have a faith crisis,
yeah.
And not because yep. God did anything that was unfaithful, mm-hmm. but because you actually weren't having faith in God. You were
right.
putting faith and hope into something else. And so mm-hmm. love that. Adam, what other thoughts do you have on these two? We avoid death and we predict life as best as we are able to. We try to do that, but what's dangerous about it?
I don't know as much as dangerous, but just something that where my brain goes is, do you guys ever find yourself watching a TV show or a movie, and then there's this like an actress or an actor that they come on and you're like, who is that? And then, so you pull up IMDb,
yeah.
and you're like, so I wonder how old they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so you always look at that. And then the really shocking ones are the ones to where you look at it and you're like, oh my gosh, what did they do to their face? Have you ever had that conversation with your wife?
Yeah.
It's just like, what did they do with their face? Because it's like, you know, it looks like it's been pulled so tight that if you just, you know,
yeah.
flicked it, it would shatter.
Yeah.
But what we appreciate, one of the things that I find inspiring maybe, or maybe appreciation is the right word, is whenever there's an actress that's, or an actor that's in their, you know, late 60s, early 70s, even into their 80s, and they haven't, if they've had, this is how we say it in our house, if they had work done, they had really good work done.
Yeah.
Right. You know, because there's this, like, they're aging gracefully, I think is where I'm
sure.
trying to get.
Sure.
And so there's this thing in us, and I think it's the Ecclesiastes 3 that he's set eternity in our hearts, that we want to live forever. And so what we do is we try to avoid death. And that's what's
right.
happening. We're dying every single day. We're, you know, Josh, I think you said it. In the message, we're closer to our death now than even whenever you started preaching the sermon. Since
yeah.
you hit play on this button, we are
yep. right.
every moment we're creeping towards that. And so because eternity has been set in our hearts, we're trying to avoid what is unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something that occurs to me as we're sitting here talking about it. I don't know that there's really a deep point to that or not, but it's just, it's interesting that
yeah.
that's where our hearts
well,
go.
Right. Cause we try to avoid the aging because we know yeah. the aging is telling of what's coming.
Yeah.
And so we try to embrace the youth
yeah.
and that's where, you know, a 55-year-old dude's going to buy the Corvette.
Well, yeah.
That's where the dad's going to scream at the ball field and
correct.
All that sort of stuff because we're trying to avoid the reality of what's coming our way.
Yeah. That time is marching on. And, the unpredictableness of life is, I think, Josh, the way you said it, it's just the broken expectations. But I think this goes back to our meaningless word of Hebel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that thing that we're trying to grasp, and you can't control life. And I think one of the lessons I've learned over the last, you know, several years, decades, whatever, is that a lot of times, the harder I try to control it, the more out of control it gets.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, because it wasn't meant to be grasped by me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think those would just be a couple of thoughts there.
So that's really, really good. So when it comes to death being unavoidable and life being unpredictable, those are some of the maybe cautions, warnings, dangers. What about these two things are just good for us to remember? Why do we need to know these things and begin to embrace them? How does that change the way that we live every day?
I think I'll start with unpredictable. If we know that, then I guess it lends itself more to a faith and a trust in the Lord. If we just remind ourselves every day that we are not, Adam, you said it like last week, maybe.
Yeah.
One of the greatest theological truths is just there is God and I am not it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we realize God is someone else, it actually fosters more of an authentic faith. And then kind of like I said before, just the unavoidable, just death is unavoidable. When you really start planning on that, I mean, yeah, you're planning your will and your retirement accounts and all that sort of stuff, but you're also just thinking bigger things that matter longer than just today. And I think
yeah.
that when you embrace the aging process, when you embrace the inevitability of your death someday, it helps you to think bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's huge. Cool. So you get into kind of this question then is like, what we see here is that death is unavoidable and life is unpredictable. And so the conclusion that you're making and that we think that the preacher in Ecclesiastes is making is that means we've got to live with one foot in the grave. And so yesterday you kind of shifted just how can we live with one foot in the grave? And you gave two things that you think we see in Ecclesiastes. The first one is just to enjoy life, which is just kind of fun and ironic to think about. I'm living with one foot in the grave and that's fun, right? Enjoy life.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We live with one foot in the grave first by enjoying life. So just some fun questions for us here. What are some of the most enjoyable things that you have experienced in your gift of life?
Yeah, I think travel. Been very blessed to be able to go to a lot of places in the world and want to continue and see more. I think seeing the world is super fun. My marriage, my kids being born, Grand Canyon hike from last year was a bucket list type of thing. That was super fun. Man, I could go on and on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam,
lots of enjoyable things.
I think that the older I get, I think the things that I enjoy most is just, unhurried time.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be anywhere special or anything like that, but just, being with the people that you love and, you know, conversations, whether they last 2 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour, those things are just super enjoyable. And for me, most of them happen in the zip code of 30655.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's about who more than what.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's why I think, you know, we enjoy the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
You know, or the San Francisco 40,
yeah.
40 Winers.
40 Winers.
Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, all these kind of things. That's part of us enjoying life. And Josh, I think that your caution that you give is
good. Really good.
Is really good. You know, is that if we're not careful, they become gods and not loves.
Yep.
And so was that
C.S. Lewis?
Yeah. And so I think that's always going to be the caution with this. And that's with anything good. I mean, that's our kids, that's our grandkids, you know. That's our sports teams. I mean, that's all those kind of things. And so it's just, but those are the things though, that I really, really, really enjoy.
Yeah. I love it. For me, it's, you know, some people say the most beautiful sound in the world is like the sound of a baby's cry or laugh or anything like that.
I know what you're going to say.
It is the sound of a circular shaped piece of plastic hitting some chains. And so I enjoy disc golf, a lot, and just recreation in general. Like for me, it's sure it's the travel of I'd like to go, you know, play some of the really, really beautiful disc golf courses in the U.S. and enjoy that. But also, I'd be just as content rolling over here to Lenora Park or Matthews Park or Heritage Pines in between and playing with people.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we're done with that, getting the pickleball paddles out and playing with people, like it's enjoyable to do that. So the questions that I have just to kind of think through, we love the word rhythms and there's the bingo card one. So what sort of rhythms have you built into your life to help you enjoy it? Because I think that there's some danger into just going about life day by day, just expecting to enjoy it rather than to be purposeful about it and build it into the rhythm of your days, weeks, months, all that sort of stuff. So what rhythms have you built in to help you enjoy it?
I think Sabbath is one.
Yep.
You know, making sure there's one day a week for sure that is just devoted to rest and recreation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just like no work today, just going to play and rest and whatever that looks like.
Have a good meal.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I say the same thing. You know, the first point I listed a bunch of kind of big things, you know, big travel and all that stuff. But Adam, you talked about just unhurried conversations. And that got me thinking the second question, just the rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that I really most enjoy in life are just conversations around a table, but that's a rhythm. That's a mealtime rhythm that we have established. And as the kids get older, it's going to be harder to guard, but it's something we're set to do. whether it's a breakfast or a dinner, like I want to be able to hear about my family's day and hear my kids laugh. And that sort of stuff too. Like for my marriage, we've built in date nights mm-hmm. or date trips a year. We have people to watch our kids. And so some of those things are important as well. And then, yeah, just Fridays after CLC is over, or a lot of time when the kids are in school, mm-hmm. it's often that afternoon is I'm working on a wood project, or I'm going on a run, or going on a hike, or doing something,
right?
Yeah, like to enjoy that Sabbath.
So. Yeah, and enjoyment looks different for people too, because you use the word going on a run.
Yeah,
I would never in my life build into my rhythm on a day or weekly basis, I'm going to enjoy life by running. You know, but you would. And so you got to think through just what are some ways I can build enjoyment of my life into the days and weeks and months and all that sort of stuff. And think about what it means for you. Here's just a fun one. Be really quick. What is an enjoyment dream of yours? So you listed all sorts of different things. One of the ones that I thought was hilarious in your little list of things to encourage people to do was to shear a sheep.
I don't know. Maybe you want to do that.
Do you want to shear a sheep, Josh?
I don't want to do that.
No, okay. No. So,
I'll tell you what mine is.
Yeah, what is it?
Okay, I do want to do this. Sasha and I, someday, we want to fly to Maine.
Okay.
And just drive all the way back down the East Coast, seeing a bunch of sites. But I also, during that trip, I want to eat clam chowder on a rocky beach.
Eat clam chowder on a rocky beach.
Not on the rocks, but like on a restaurant that's on
right,
the rocky
on the
beach.
Rocky beach. Yeah, okay.
Like straight out of the ocean.
Okay. So Manhattan clam chowder or New England clam chowder? That's the question.
Hadn't thought that far
he's,
yet.
Yeah, I don't think he's that picky.
Well, those are two different things, man. Big difference.
I don't order the clam chowder.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's good.
Clam chowder's good.
What about you, Adam? What's an enjoyment dream of yours?
Enjoyment dream? I mean, one of the things I would love to be able to, this is just a silly one, but there's this Robert Trent Jones golf trail, and it's just like a series of courses from like all the way from like Gulf Shores up through Alabama, if I remember right.
Yeah.
So it'd be fun to just.
Yeah. You know. I've got a similar one. I don't know that I was going to say this, but I'd like to play every course on the Disc Golf Pro Tour. Mm-hmm. And good news is there's a lot of them in the Southeast area, so I can drive and get a lot of those. But the biggest one is I want to go to the Holy Land.
Oh yeah.
Holy Land would be a huge one. That would be fun. So enjoy life. That's what we're talking about. Jesus came so that we can have life and have it to the full. And that sounds enjoyable. I tell teenagers all the time that like, there's this stereotype around Christianity and followers of Jesus about how, they just want to try to take the fun out of life and all that sort of stuff. I tell them all the time, look, like, the most fun you can have is whenever you're following Jesus the right way. It absolutely is an enjoyable thing to do. What a gift that God has given us. But there is that warning that Adam mentioned that you talked about, Josh, yesterday. And it's that this side of heaven, those things are going to always be temptations to become ultimate things, right? So it's don't let the things you enjoy become those ultimate things. So how do we avoid falling into that trap of kind of letting the enjoyments of life becoming the idols that take our attention away from God?
Yeah, I think one regular rhythm would be the daily gratitude we talked about, with the mindset of the verse from James that says, every good and perfect gift is from above. And so making sure on a daily basis that you are grateful for those things and pointing your attention right back to God every single time, saying, mm-hmm. God, thank you so much that I got to fill in the blank, you know, mm-hmm. and it's not just that you're thinking about the good things, but you're thinking about the God that gave you the good things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the daily gratitude helps to crush, the entitlement that just kind of lurks within our, mm-hmm. in our hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a story. I don't know if you guys read this part of the book or not, The Living Life Backward. A story was told about John Stott, the old preacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, every day his nephew, I think it was, would bring him a cup of coffee. And in the afternoon, his head would be bowed and he would say, I'm not worthy of like, and his nephew was offended. He's like, and finally said something about it. And he said, Uncle John, what do you mean? Like, it's just a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically reprimanded him. And he said, your theology of grace is all wrong. And he's like, what do you mean? And he said this phrase, it's kind of complicated to explain, that's why I didn't put it in the sermon, but he said, it's just the thin end of the wedge. So like a cup of coffee is just the starting point. And from there, the wedge just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Gotcha.
And, and basically the warning was, if you can't learn to be grateful for the small things, it's not a long step until you're not grateful for anything.
Yeah.
So That's good. Thank you, John Stott, the old British preacher.
Yeah.
And I think he's British, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
And coffee is an enjoyment, man.
Exactly.
It is absolutely an enjoyment. But sometimes we do just go about things and we're like, this is just, we become conditioned to expect stuff, you know, and that can sometimes create some reliability in something other than God. I think one of the things that I would say here too, when it comes to just like taking the gifts that God gave us and turning them into ultimate things, I go back and think about the story of Exodus. And so you've got the Israelites who were, by God's grace, delivered from slavery in Egypt, and in such a way that they actually plundered the Egyptians. The story goes like that, as the Israelites were leaving, all of Egypt gave them everything, gold and silver and jewelry and all this sort of stuff. And then later, whenever Israel gets impatient with God, is whenever they take those good things that God gave them and literally melt them down and turn them into the calf that they worship, right? And so they turned God's good gifts into an ultimate thing to grab their attention because they got impatient, right? And so I think one of the important things for us to remember too is that in the midst of enjoying life, we also have to learn to be patient as we're waiting for God to reveal himself in new ways and in new seasons and stuff like that. So that's the first thing, enjoy life. Ecclesiastes is a book about enjoying life, but it's also a book about preparing for death. So, Josh, for the first point, enjoying life, you read off a tons of those ideas. You like, enjoy life, go visit Yosemite, shear that sheep, all that sort of stuff. But for this one, you didn't read a list, and because that's a little bit harder to do and definitely not as much fun, but it's also important because it really is the key to living life backwards. So here's a list. Prepare for death. That means, well, go get your will made. Write your funeral service, build your own casket if you're good with wood, reconcile with family, serve others, all that good stuff. But above all, Ecclesiastes tells us to remember God. So why is it important to prepare for death? And then let's just start to talk practically about how we can do that.
So on the practical level, we didn't, you know, like you said, we didn't really go there in the sermon that much, but the practical level, like I think we have a responsibility, obviously, to kids and a future generation, especially today's world, it's kind of complicated. And if you don't tell your money where it's going to go, the government will just snatch it up and all that.
Yeah, sort probate of, court, nobody tied
all that,
up.
All that sort of stuff. And we've seen people that kind of both ends of the spectrum. Their parents had things really, really good and in order, and it was easy. And other times it was very, very difficult. So that's the practical level. Adam, jump in there.
No, I think on the practical level, it's really a philosophical level. Because you're starting, what you're asking the question is, what do I want my legacy to be? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, because the practical truth is every single one of us are writing our legacies right now. Mm-hmm. Whether you're intentionally doing it or unintentionally doing it, you're doing it. Because you will be remembered for something. And so it's just deciding today, okay, how do I want to be remembered? And what do I need to do from this moment on? And so, if you're wanting to be remembered as the loving, caring parent that was full of grace and mercy, you know, that helped put your child on the right path so that when they were older, they wouldn't depart from it, you know, all those things, then it's like, well, if that's what I want to be remembered as, then what do I need to do today, you know, to do that? Well, I should probably be working towards being loving and graceful and merciful and, you know, instructing my child in the way that they should go in those things. For me, I think I've said this even before from the pulpit, like the words of Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I want to hear at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to hear from him, which actually probably matters more than what people think of me. Just throw that out there.
Absolutely.
Got to remind myself of that. Mr. People Pleaser over here. But, you know, well done. In other words, got some stuff done. You did what you needed to do
with what
you had. Good, meaning that you were a good dude and you were moral. You were upright. You lived life with integrity. Faithful, your fidelity to Jesus, it never wavered through whatever season that you were in, and servant, you know, that you were serving him and his church. I'd love to hear that, and love for people to say that about me, you know, in addition to, you know, that guy loved his kids, his grandkids, his great grandkids, his great great grandkids, his great 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 grandkids, because that guy was healthy, man, you know. But, you know, he loved his wife.
Because he did the hot yoga.
It's because there's no way I'm doing hot yoga.
Goat yoga?
No way. Maybe puppy yoga. But you know, that in addition to all those kind of things, that's what you want to be saying. That's what you want to have said about you. And I love what my buddy Alan says. You know, he says, I want to be remembered as a man who lived with Jesus as well as for Jesus.
Yep.
And, you know, the ultimate legacy is what we do with him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. And so it's focusing in on what truly, truly matters.
Yeah.
And I'll quote Alan one more time. Our lasting legacy is not our performance for Christ, but our partnership with Christ and our position in Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. I've got a quote up in my office from Oswald Chambers from his devotional Utmost. And it's Christian workers often fail because they place their desire for their own holiness above their desire to know Jesus, to know God, right? Like, so that's what we're talking about.
Yep.
Like, legacy is, do you have an intimate relationship with the Father?
Yeah.
And everything else is going to flow from that. And so,
yeah, I think that the pointed question is, are you living for a legacy, or what are you going to leave? Are you going to leave a legacy or a resume? What are you going to leave? And we want that legacy to be what we did with Jesus, you know, our position from our position in Christ. Here's some Thomas A. Kempis stuff, because I'm sure we all read The Imitation of Christ today. you know, happy is he that always hath the hour of his death before his eyes and daily prepareth himself to die. When it is morning, think thou mayest die before night. And when evening comes, dare not to promise thyself the next morning. Be thou therefore always in readiness, and so lead thy life, so that death may never take thee unprepared.
Mm. Yep.
So, good old Thomas.
Yeah.
Thou was good.
Thou shalt. Read that again.
Yeah. Love it. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4. Love this one. Anyone who is among the living has hope. And so as long as you are living today, there is hope that you are going to enjoy life and prepare well to leave a legacy that is a testament to your life with Jesus. And so do that. Bottom line from yesterday, Josh, was one day will be your last day. And I don't know if you got inspired by Chad Kroeger, singer of Nickelback, or if he got inspired by Ecclesiastes, but that's the Nickelback song. If today was your last day, and tomorrow was too late, would you say goodbye to yesterday? Live each moment like your last. All that sort of stuff. Good song. Great song. I'm the one person in the world that actually likes Nickelback.
I think more of Tim McGraw, Live Like You're Dying.
Live Like You're Dying.
Skydiving. Yeah. Right.
Rocky Mountain Climbing.
Rocky Mountain Climbing. Ride a bull named Timbuktu or something.
Fu Manchu.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have put that in my list.
I can't listen to that song with Tristan because it makes her cry.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that's not a bad one. So there you go. We've got, so these are in this whole idea is inspired by artists everywhere, because it's a real idea, right? One day will be your last day. You don't know when that one day is. And so you challenge people to write their epitaph. What do you mean, Josh? Tell us a little bit about it.
So epitaph is the fancy name for your, what's written on your gravestone. And it's necessarily small. Can't write a whole, you know, novel for your epitaph. It's a little dash in between two numbers. And it's kind of like, what do you do? It's, you know, that famous cliche, just what do you do with a dash? And epitaph, it's probably a sentence long.
Sure.
And I've gone over to the graveyard across the street from time to time through the years being here, and it's just fascinating to me to read some of those. And, you know, some you see about where they served in the armed forces, whatever branch. You see, like, faithful mother, or, you know, a father, things like that. And so, yeah, just the challenge was to think about what are those necessarily small things that you want to be true of you. I know the next question here is just, we've put some thought into this and some of our backward planning, things like, mm-hmm. I wrote the word with, like, I just want to be with Jesus. I want to cherish my wife. I want to, you know, lead my kids to a growing relationship with Jesus as well. I want to be a person who invested my life in others. And I want to live a fun and healthy life, because this body was given to me on purpose by God. And so I want to honor that, and obviously not worship, exercise, or health or anything like that, but enjoy life. Mm-hmm. But take care of it as well.
Yeah.
So those are some of the big bullet points for
me. And I think Adam and I have very similar mm-hmm. bullet points. We've done a lot of that thinking, just really for me over the last couple years, whenever you started introducing me to the Titan Planner, which is literally backward planning, right?
So it is.
But let me just ask you this, Josh. So you just rattled off some of the things that you'd like to just be known for by the time that it's all done. And so, practically speaking, what are some of the things that you do on a weekly, daily, monthly basis to try to work your way towards that?
Yeah, so morning time works best for me. And so I function best if I'm up early before the family, and that's the time where I'm in the scriptures and the journal and the prayer and that sort of stuff. But I also have to be careful. My personality is to hit the day and get going. And so I need to be intentional with putting things throughout the day to help remind me of God's presence. Sometimes in seasons are better than others, but that would be the goal there. To cherish my wife. I mean, we wrote it down that there's going to be at least a date night, if not two or three a month. It's harder now. Kids are in a weird season as far as age, but we're still doing that. And one date trip a year to lead my kids and my family. I mean, we even have, like, we have phrases that they will start and they'll finish. We'll have intentional dinners several times a week. And by intentional, I don't mean like every minute of it is structured. Just we're at the table.
Everybody take a bite of your peas on the count of three.
Yeah. Now repeat the chapter of the Bible you have memorized. No, it's not like that. We do that every single week, but
sure.
But it's just being together. We have pretty boring like bedtimes and wake up times and all that stuff, and it's just to give the kids structure. Of course, I try to be active in the gym four times a week, and if not in the gym, just rowing at home or running at home or things like that. Those are some of the actual day to day rhythms.
I love it. Adam, you've got some things you obviously think through and try to attain to. So talk to us a little bit about what are just some of the practical things you do on a daily, weekly basis to try to get yourself to where you want to be by the end of everything.
Well, for the physical side, it's similar to Josh, just making sure that I'm taking care of the body that I have now in my mid-40s, so that whenever I'm in my so Psalm 90 says, you know, we each get 70 years, 80 if our strength endures, or something like that. So whenever I'm in that time to where I'm either in bonus time or in the last quarter or wherever I am, that I'm able to still be active and enjoy, you know, life. And so there are just some physical things that I do for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think relationally, I just try to think in terms of, it's a different place whenever your kids are in their 20s than whenever they're 10 years old and those kind of things. Yep. But I would say that to parents of younger children, I think I would just say this. It's so easy. How do I want to say this? I'll just say it directly. So if whenever you are disciplining your kids, discipline with the end in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is the goal? Your goal is that whenever they're adults, that they actually still want to hang around with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever you're disciplining, when you're leading them, do that with the end in mind. And that'll determine the level of how things need to be disciplined or how they need to be disciplined and those kind of things. But I just think it's, once again, Jen and I, we play golf together. So that's enjoying the wife of my youth and, just trying to just be available as well. Mm-hmm. And so find the things that matter, to your kids, to those you have relationships with them. That's my favorite thing about football season. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just that the Chiefs are winning in those things. It's that I get to watch that with my son.
It's a bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
love it. Love it. Let's use ChatGPT to wrap up.
Let's do it.
Big turn. So, you guys are both going to play.
Do we need to open up ChatGPT?
No, no, no. I'll be the manager of the ChatGPT. I played 20 questions with ChatGPT this morning, and I got the item in 8 questions, and you guys got to see if you can do better than that. So ChatGPT has already said, let's play. I'm thinking of something new. Go ahead and ask your first question. So Josh, you go first and see if you can get this item in 20 questions or 8 or less.
Okay.
What's your first question?
Is this thing living?
Is this thing living? The answer from ChatGPT is no.
Okay.
It is not living. Okay. Hashtag Ecclesiastes.
So I'm playing.
No, you're playing. You're playing, and then okay. Adam's going to try to beat you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is it okay? So is it living was the first?
And the answer is no.
Okay. Is it man-made?
Is it man-made? It is, yes, it is man-made.
Okay. Mm. Is it a machine?
Is it a machine? Yes, it is a machine.
Is it smaller than a toaster?
Is it smaller than a toaster? It is not smaller than a toaster.
Is it smaller than a refrigerator?
Is it smaller than a refrigerator?
Yeah.
I'm just going to type fridge and hope that ChatGPT gets it. Yes, it's smaller than a fridge. So somewhere between toaster and fridge.
Okay. Is it a household appliance?
Is it a household appliance? ChatGPT says yes.
Mm.
It is a household appliance.
Okay. Is it in the kitchen?
Is it in the kitchen? Yes, it is typically found in the kitchen.
Okay. Is it used for cooking?
Yes, it's used for cooking.
It's in the kitchen.
Well, the dishwasher is not used.
I guess you can cook in the dishwasher.
Steam.
All right.
Some broccoli in the dishwasher.
I'm just going to start guessing kitchen appliances. All right. Okay. Is it the oven?
Is it the oven? Yes, it is the oven.
Bam.
Well done.
How many questions?
You've guessed it within 10 questions.
All right.
10 questions.
Great job. By the way, my object was a TV remote.
Mm.
TV remote.
Nice.
So, okay. Adam?
Well, is it man-made?
Hold on. I got to say to ChatGPT, let's play again.
Let's play again.
Okay. All right. Absolutely. I love the enthusiasm. Absolutely. I've got something else in mind. Okay, right. Robot.
Is it man-made?
Is it man-made? Similar question. Great strategy. Yes, it's man-made.
Okay. Did ChatGPT just say great strategy? Or is
that no, no, no. That was, no, no. Okay. That was me. That was me.
So is it?
I usually start with size.
So it is man-made. So I'll do this. Is it found in a house?
Is it found in a house? Yes, it can be found in a house.
Can be found in a house. Well, that doesn't help.
You can find a lot of weird things
I know.
In people's houses.
I know. Is it made of metal?
Is it made of metal? No.
Ooh.
It is not made
so
of metal.
Now we're into something plastic. All right. Wow. I'm really bad at these kind of games. Is it wearable?
Is it wearable?
Once again, could be weird.
No.
No, it's not wearable. Okay. All right. So it is man-made. It is made of
not
metal.
It is not
made of
metal.
Is it made of plastic?
Is it made of plastic? Yes.
Okay.
It is made of plastic.
Is it found in the kitchen? Let's just do that.
Try to get it because it said it would be found in a house.
Right.
No, not typically found in the kitchen.
Is it found in a living room?
Is it found in a living room? Yes.
Okay.
It is commonly found in a living room.
Does it have buttons?
Does it have buttons?
Is it the TV remote again?
Yes, it has buttons.
Is it a TV remote?
Oh, my gosh.
It better not be, because I didn't refresh this page.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That should have been your first question.
Yes, it is a it is a TV remote.
Yes, I thought of another one.
You guessed it correctly with 9 questions.
Yeah. I win.
Literally, like I started before the podcast to do this, and it was TV remote. I left the tab open. So this is still the same chat line.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And then it went to your item and then back to the TV remote. So
apparently ChatGPT just thinks of household items.
Yeah.
Because if 20 questions, I'd be thinking of like spotted gecko or something like that, you know. But oh well.
I think I started music on mine.
You did.
I also just tapped into ChatGPT, write my epitaph.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Of course it didn't. It's like, writing an epitaph is a deeply personal and meaningful task. Here are a few examples. So, there we go. Hey, it's been fun to hang out in this episode of Corinth in Your Car. We start a new series next week called Encounters.
Yeah.
We're going to be taking a look at some of the stories in the Gospels, encounters that people just like you and I had with Jesus. And so we're excited to dive into that. Adam, you're up for week one. Mm-hmm. What's the encounter that we're doing for week one?
Nicodemus. So, yeah.
Nicodemus.
Just
John chapter 3.
John chapter 3.
Cool.
One of my favorite scenes in The Chosen
my goodness.
Yeah.
So good.
So good.
Let's just watch
I'm just going to play that.
Let's just play it.
I don't need to preach.
It's video day at church.
Video day at church, yeah.
No, love it.
Pop some popcorn.
John chapter 3, Nicodemus. Looking forward to seeing that encounter between he and Jesus, and also looking forward to seeing you in person for church next Sunday. We'll see you then. Till next time, peace and grace.
Y'all ever get nervous as to whether or not we actually get the record button? So I have to check with you every once in a while.
No. We're good.
We're good.
We're good.
See the red light.
Put the candy back in.
Candy.